Today, the United States made its most extensive, most documented, and most urgent presentation of the case against Saddam Hussein's Iraq. And the question before the world is, does it add up to a case for war? At the United Nations Security Council, Secretary of State Colin Powell disclosed satellite photographs, intercepted Iraqi military communications, and the accounts of Iraqi sources and defectors. In Powell's view, they all add up to a picture of a country that has evaded arms inspections, developed weapons of mass destruction, and aided terrorists, including al-Qaeda.
Given Saddam Hussein's history of aggression, given what we know of his grandiose plans, given what we know of his terrorist associations, and given his determination to exact revenge on those who oppose him, should we take the risk that he will not someday use these weapons at a time, in a place, and in a manner of his choosing, at a time when the world is in a much weaker position to respond? The United States will not and cannot run that risk to the American people. Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option, not in a post-September 11th world.
For the Security Council to permit Iraq to continue in this vein, he said, would be to risk its own irrelevance. In this segment of our program, we'll hear some of what Secretary of State Colin Powell had to say, and we'll hear what two observers make of it, two observers with different views of the advisability of war against Iraq now. They are Jessica Tuckman Matthews, who's president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Welcome once again, Jessica Matthews.
Nice to be with you.
And Judith Yaffe, who is senior fellow at the National Defense University and joined us by telephone. Judith,
good
once again.
Good to be with you.
Good to hear from you. I'd like to hear from both of you. First, Jessica Matthews. Did Colin Powell seriously advance the U.S. case for war against Iraq soon by what he did today at the U.N.?
I think he did, in that he made a very compelling, indeed an irrefutable case that Iraq is evading and, as he said, undertaking systematic deception of the inspectors. But what he didn't do, in fact, he didn't even really try to do, was to make the case that there is an imminent threat against the United States. And that leaves us, I think, with the question of what to do next. And that, I think, he left open.
Judith Yaffe, what do you say to that first question?
Well, I think Jessica makes a good point on the imminent threat, but I think Colin Powell did a better job. I think he really did make a compelling case about the seriousness. I don't know quite what imminent means, a threat this month, this week, or this year, but I think he laid out a very good case, and I do think that he has given, I think, further credence to the reports that we have to act.
Well, Secretary Powell's presentation argued several points. First, that the arms inspections now underway are being thwarted at just about every turn by Iraq. Documents and weapons are being hidden. Scientists have been told that if they talk too much to inspectors, they might even face execution, he said. Secretary Powell accused Iraq of maintaining a biological weapons program. At one point, he said that that program is being carried out in laboratories that are on trucks and on railroad cars.
We know what the fermenters look like. We know what the tanks, pumps, compressors, and other parts look like. We know how they fit together. We know how they work. And we know a great deal about the platforms on which they are mounted. As shown in this diagram, these factories can be concealed easily, either by moving ordinary-looking trucks and rail cars along Iraq's thousands of miles of highway or track, or by parking them in a garage or a warehouse or somewhere in Iraq's extensive system of underground tunnels and bunkers. We know that Iraq has at least seven of these mobile biological agent factories. The truck-mounted ones have at least two or three trucks each, perhaps 18 trucks that we know of. There may be more, but perhaps 18 that we know of. Just imagine trying to find 18 trucks among the thousands and thousands of trucks that travel the roads of Iraq every single day.
Now, after Secretary Powell spoke, the Iraqi ambassador made a presentation in which he quoted Hans Blix, the weapons inspector, head of UNMOVIC, as saying that UNMOVIC has found no evidence of mobile units. And Jessica Matthews and Judith Yaffe, this seems to pose the question, does that mean that there should be better inspections or that inspections are just futile, that you can never find, as Secretary Powell suggests, 18 needles in an enormous haystack, 18 trucks perhaps that might be on the highways of Iraq. Jessica Matthews.
It doesn't mean either one of those things.
Okay.
It means that they haven't, the fact that they haven't seen them yet means nothing, and it certainly doesn't mean that they can't find them. the biggest failing of the inspection so far, and it is a serious blunder on Blix's part, has been the failure to get the U-2 surveillance planes in the air. That will make a huge difference, and other forms of high-tech detection and time.
Judith Yaffe, what do you say about the mobile labs and the fact that nobody's found them yet?
I don't think that the inspections are futile, and I think just because we haven't found them yet doesn't mean they're not there. I think all of this emphasizes the level of difficulty involved in picking these things out. That's why the Iraqis are so successful in their deception here. But I don't think it argues futility. Quite the contrary, it argues for the necessity of persistence.
On to chemical weapons. According to Colin Powell today and in previous statements, Iraq has weaponized anthrax in the past, but also other biological agents, including aflatoxin and ricin. On the subject of nerve agents, Powell played what he identified as a recent recording of a conversation between two Iraqi officers. It's in Arabic, but the State Department did have a translation that it prepared.
Hello.
Hello.
Ibrahim Shonet.
Two officers talking to each other on the radio. I want to make sure that nothing is misunderstood. Remove. Remove. The expression. The expression, I got it. Nerve agents. Nerve agents. Wherever it comes up, got it. Wherever it comes up. In the wireless instructions. In the instructions. Correction, no, in the wireless instructions. Wireless, I got it. Why does he repeat it that way? Why is he so forceful in making sure this is understood? And why did he focus on wireless instructions? Because the senior officer is concerned that somebody might be listening. Well, somebody was. Nerve agents, stop talking about it. They're listening to us. Don't give any evidence that we have these horrible agents, but we know that they do, and this kind of conversation confirms it.
Well, later the Iraqi ambassador said that Powell's presentation was full of assumptions, presumptions, possibly fabrications using recordings. He said, very simply, Iraq is free of any such weapons of mass destruction. Judith Yaffe, what do you say? Was that just a smoking gun to your by your standards?
Well, by my standards, I thought it was quite good. The Iraqi ambassador was just totally deceitful. He said several other things that he claimed as evidence, including an alleged government report that the Iraqis had never gassed the Kurds or anything else. That's all nonsense. The Iraqis have admitted to using chemicals against the Kurds. We've known that they have all this capability. So what I found unusual about that was that they would say that on an open line or whatever kind of line that was, but I'll take it that they did.
Jessica Matthews, how does a recording of two people who we're told are two Iraqi officers speaking Arabic and translated for us by the government, how does that stack up on the Adlai Stevenson at the UN scale of presentations of evidence?
I go into this, and I think everybody should, with the going-in assumption that we know that the Iraqi regime is a bunch of determined liars. So for me, this is not...
No surprise here.
No.
Once again, in alleging Iraq's desire to have a nuclear arsenal, Secretary Powell brought up those tubes, those aluminum tubes, about which he conceded there is much dispute. Some people say, very plainly, he's describing tubes that were made for rockets and not for making nuclear weapons. The administration persists in this.
Yes.
Are they persuasive? Or again, to you, Jessica Matthews, does it matter if they're persuasive?
Well, I think what he said was new was that these tubes were actually intercepted, and that's the basis on which we make these discoveries, was that over time, the tubes were being manufactured to a higher and higher degree of precision and higher specifications, which suggested that Iraq is still very far away from having nuclear weapons, assuming that it does not find some way to get hold of highly enriched uranium.
So again, imminent threat, not.
That's right.
Not a case made here, you'd say.
What this shows us is that the determination to do it persists.
Last point we're going to hear from Secretary Powell concerned the link between Saddam Hussein's regime and al-Qaeda.
Iraq today harbors a deadly terrorist network headed by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, an associate and collaborator of Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda lieutenants. Zarqawi, returning to Afghanistan in 2000, he oversaw a terrorist training camp. When our coalition ousted the Taliban, the Zarqawi network helped establish another Poison and Explosive Training Center camp, and this camp is located in northeastern Iraq. Zarqawi's activities are not confined to this small corner of northeast Iraq. He traveled to Baghdad in May 2002 for medical treatment, staying in the capital of Iraq for 2 months while he recuperated to fight another day. During this stay, nearly two dozen extremists converged on Baghdad and established a base of operations there. These al-Qaeda affiliates now coordinate the movement of people, money, and supplies into and throughout Iraq for his network, and they've now been operating freely in the capital for more than 8 months.
The Iraq al-Qaeda link. Jessica Tuckman-Matthews, if there really is a connection between Iraq and al-Qaeda, doesn't that argue that there is an imminent threat, since al-Qaeda seems to be ready at any moment to use whatever it can against any American target it can find?
Several things. And I think here is probably the most important bit of new information that we got in this speech, was this revelation of this cell in operating in Baghdad. The United States government has been trying to establish a link between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda since September 11th. It all still goes back to this one guy. Mm-hmm. And the key question still remains, would they do any more than that? Would they, and the fear is, would they give them, say, chemical weapons? That we still have no evidence for, and I would argue that it is extremely unlikely to happen. Now, the reason it'd be unlikely is that that would be for him to give over his fate into the hands of someone he can't control.
Here I would have to agree with Jessica. I find this evidence still somewhat lacking in credibility. I think it still is based pretty much on one or two sources of information which are questionable. And frankly, I don't think we've done more than touch the surface on the possibilities, but I don't think the evidence is there yet.
Well, Judith Yaffe of the National Defense University and Jessica Tuckman-Matthews of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, thank you both very much for talking with us today about what Secretary of State Powell said at the United Nations.
Thank you.
Thank you.